Men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to creatures' glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Shushushuru Shadadhana Sya Vasudeva Katarvichi Siyan Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirtha Nishevana. O thrice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krista Bhutavaya Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayani Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastritya Vijitari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vedadha Shivasari Gauravani Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vachakantrupi is Jagripa Sindhu Vyavacha, Patitana Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo. Very nice to be here with you all this afternoon. We hope you're all happy in Krishna consciousness. And if there are some guests who are here for the first time, they're not familiar with these things, stay with us, try to listen carefully, and hopefully some of these very important ideas will become clearer. This is now the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the beginning. Srimad Bhagavatam has 12 cantos, 12 major subdivisions, each of which is divided into a number of chapters. For example, the 10th canto, the largest canto, has 90 chapters. So in other words, we're talking about really very substantial literature, very major literature. But here we are right at the beginning of chapter 2. The scene is being set, you could say, for the main body of the recitation, and the main foundational principles are being established. And this is one of those principles, or not just one actually, but within this verse there are a few very foundational, very essential, and very wonderful principles which are embodied in great depth throughout the course of the rest of this very great literature. So here then, the point is being made that we need, first point, we need to become attached to hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, hearing about Him, appreciating Him, understanding Him, and really embracing Him, within our hearts. This is really such an important part of becoming Krishna conscious, of becoming conscious of the Lord and developing a relationship with the Lord. But in material existence, of course, we know people are attracted to hearing of so many other things, just ordinary things, like what happened to that Malaysia Airlines airplane, right? And not to, you know, sort of belittle the whole situation, but this is a great subject of interest. Whereas this subject, the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him and what it is and how to develop it and what are the challenges and obstacles and how to go about it, and ultimately the incomparable value of it. Those, what is it, MH370 people not really aware about these things, or are the Russians going to invade Ukraine completely? The biggest festival, devotee festival in the world for the last some number of years was held in Crimea by our Ukrainian devotees. Now it is part of Russia. What to do? It's actually turned things upside down completely for our devotees. But people are very interested in these things. In the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, it said, Swadid Varaho Strakarai, Samskuta Purusha Prashu, Naryat Karna Patopreta, Jatu Nama Gadagraja. That people who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses praise those people who never like to hear about Krishna, who is the deliverer from all evil. So I know this is a really very forthright statement, but actually it's true. People who like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, hogs, interested in eating anything. And it doesn't matter, clean, unclean, got nothing to do with it. Dogs, people who just like to bark at you, just get out. Prabhupada would say the visa department, when you arrive at the airport, they look at your passport. Who are you? What are you doing here? Do we want you to come into our country, or shall we chase you away? Woof, woof. The dogs. Camels. Camels, the specific attribute or characteristic of camels in this context, is that camels? Of course, here in South Africa, I guess we don't really have camels, but in India there's plenty of camels. And they sort of trek around here and there. And camels like to eat thorns. You know, you get these thorn trees like you do in South Africa, very similar, or basically the same, really, with big thorns. And really solid thorns. You can't just, you know, just snap them like that. They're really serious thorns and they're very sharp. And the camels, they like to get some of these thorns. They're growing all over the thorn trees. They like to chew on the thorns. But you know why? Not because thorns as such are tasty. I don't think they are. But those thorns, when the camels chew them, they cut the mouth, the inside of the mouth of the camel, and the camel then tastes his own blood. And the camel thinks, tasty. Actually, he's tasting his own blood. And that's what the taste is. That's what the attraction is. But he's so stupid, he thinks, thorns are good. They taste nice. So, in this context of these different animals and their, you know, particular characteristics, which we also see reflected in humans, in regard to the camels, the idea is that people on the material level, particularly men on the material level, they like to enjoy illicit sex life, illicit sexual intercourse, and they get some pleasure from that. But the pleasure which is there is from the release of their semen. The semen is simply their own blood. Transformed. They just lost some of their blood. And they're thinking, feels good. Let me lose more blood. So just like the camel, tasting his own blood, but he thinks it's nice. Hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Well, that's kind of self-explanatory, perhaps. Just really stupid creatures who... they're engaged in India as beasts of burden. And you see them carrying different things. Sometimes carrying clothes. Sometimes carrying bricks. And you see this little creature, little donkey, kind of staggering around. He can't really walk in a straight line because he's overloaded. And at the end of the day, his owner gives him some grass, and the donkey thinks, that's it. I got the nectar. You see, it's good to carry these things all day for hours, because in the end, I get a few mouthfuls of grass. But the silly ass doesn't understand. There's grass growing everywhere. It's just on the side of the road, it's right there. But he thinks, I need to work all day under really very trying conditions. And then my boss will give me my grass, and then that's success. So think about it. This is what Srila Bhagavatam says. People who are like these hogs, dogs, camels, asses, in different ways. Samskrita, Purusha, Pashu. Purusha means human being. Pashu means animal. So they are two-legged animals or animals sort of disguised externally, superficially as humans. They will glorify. They're very impressed by people who never glorify. People have got other things to glorify. Very material things, like the politicians, the entertainers, and people of the sort, who never glorify Krishna. People like, I don't know, but I heard of Lady Gaga. Did you hear about her? I saw a few photos. You know, seriously, If you think it's a good idea to really get into her and appreciate her, there really has to be something wrong with you. I think it may be turning off. To glorify someone like that, it's beyond absurd. It's just beyond absurd altogether. Yeah, so if you are attracted to doggish types of things, like we mentioned, dogs are prone to aggression. You're just walking down the street, you don't know one anyhow, and the dog comes out and he must bark at you. For no reason. So people are into that sort of aggression. They're impressed by the big aggressive people. The big ones. The really heavy ones. They think, oh, this is a very important person. So this is the problem. This is one of the problems in material existence. People are not attracted to Krishna, but rather people are attracted to all sorts of other people who seriously lack qualification. And not only do they lack qualification, but they possess vast disqualification. You know, the liabilities, their personal internal liabilities are just too great. So in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual life, it's such an essential foundational factor that we have to cultivate, develop an attraction for hearing about Krishna. The verse says, Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. Vasudeva, of course, is Krishna, who is the son of Vasudeva. The son of Vasudeva becomes Vasudeva. So Vasudeva Kata, the talk about Vasudeva Krishna. Ruchi. Ruchi means a taste, a real experience of pleasure, which inspires one and drives one forward, a wonderful relish of something very beautiful and sublime. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. So somehow we have to cultivate that successfully, so that we really get that taste and the heart becomes attached to it, and we appreciate that actually our lives should be focused and oriented like this. So how to do it? How to do it? Well, this verse, like I said, there's a few points here. There's a little subtlety involved. There's some substantial and very important subtlety involved. And this is actually the methodology. The subtlety is the methodology which is being presented here. The way that you can actually develop Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. The way you can develop that taste, you might not expect it. In fact, many people would definitely not expect it. What this verse is saying here is that if you serve the devotees, particularly the advanced devotees, any devotees actually, any sincere devotee, but particularly the advanced devotees, the verse says, who are completely freed from all vice, then by that service, one gets an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. One gets that taste by rendering that service. And you might question, how could it be? You serve some devotee, and the result is, or an important part of the result is you develop an attraction for hearing about Krishna. And how does it tie in exactly? You know, you can say that, well, if someone is singing nice kirtan, very sweetly and melodically, etc., then we'll feel good, and you can connect it up. Or you eat some nice prasadam, and it tastes good, and you feel good, and you're happy, and you can tie it up. It's clear, the two, one leads to the other. But how is it that serving the devotees, particularly the advanced devotees, this verse is saying, it specifically gives the result that you develop Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, a taste for hearing about Krishna. You know, after all, Krishna is not one of the devotees. Maybe if you serve the devotees, you might say you develop an appreciation for them or something like that. But Krishna's not even one of the devotees. But you get an attraction for hearing about him if you serve the devotees. So how does it work? Well, it's a very interesting subject. And Srila Prabhupada is addressing it here in the purport, that the essence of the answer is that if you serve the devotees and appreciate the devotees and glorify the devotees, Krishna becomes very pleased with you. Krishna thinks, oh, this is a good person, I like this person. And then Krishna thinks, what can I do to reciprocate? How can I express my appreciation for you appreciating the devotees? What can I do for you, Krishna considers? And what can he do? Well, of course, he can do so many things. He can practically do anything, actually. But according to this verse, the understanding is, if you please Krishna, and Krishna feels, I want to reciprocate and do something for you, and if you really please Krishna, and Krishna really feels he wants to do the best thing he can for you, to really reciprocate all that thing, then he considers the best thing I can give you is a taste for hearing about me. I'll give it to you. Suddenly you'll receive it as if perhaps from nowhere, but you'll receive it. Just an attraction, you'll find that interest develops and develops and develops, and an attachment develops. Yes, so, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada's addressing this point in different ways, that the devotees, they do so much for the Lord, at least, you know, these more, the more special devotees who really give their lives and just all day, every day there, glorifying the Lord and spreading the glories of the Lord and helping the people connect with the Lord and helping the people become devotees like that. Those missionary workers, preachers, representatives of Krishna, Krishna appreciates them very much. Krishna appreciates them very much. I was reading just before I came up, maybe an hour ago or so, a verse written by Srila Jiva Goswami. He's commenting on a line which appears in another Srimad Bhagavatam verse 11.19.21. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and Uddhava Or rather, Krishna, Krishna is saying, Mad Bhakta Pujyadika, which Jiva Goswami translates, that Krishna is saying, of all types of worship, the worship of my devotees is the best. Jiva Goswami gives a little, just very brief, one or two sentence comment. He says that, in effect, what Krishna is saying is that serving the devotees is a more effective way of developing love for Krishna than trying to develop love for Krishna, because the devotees are so dear to the Lord. The devotees are so dear to the Lord, just like the little child, to use a material example. It's not a perfect example, but sometimes a mother, if the child is somehow trapped in a burning building, something like that, the mother may risk her life, or give her life actually, trying to rescue the child, because she's put the life of the child ahead of her own life. So Krishna appreciates the devotees. The devotees mean more to Krishna than Krishna means to himself. In material life, of course, we hear, look out for number one. That people, even they marry someone, they develop some very close relationship with another person. But they, in general, they're not really doing it for the other person, they're doing it for themselves. They're doing it for themselves. But here now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of the devotees, those advanced devotees, devotees are completely free from all vice, as stated in the verse, because they're so dedicated to Krishna, and so much trying everything and anything, even at the risk of their lives, Krishna appreciates it so much that he appreciates them more than he appreciates himself. He is willing to do more for them than he is willing to do for himself. And he becomes the sold-out servant. Sold out, unconditional servant of such exalted devotees. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's the very nice description of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprakash Lila, in which he reveals the fact that he's God to a great group of devotees. And he reveals to them how he has intervened in their lives before he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, because some of them appeared a generation before Lord Chaitanya appeared. So he tells Haridas Thakur that, you remember, Haridas, you were beaten in 23 marketplaces by the Muslims, because he was born a Muslim, but then apparently he converted to becoming a Hindu or a Vaishnava, and this is really looked down upon, unfortunately, in those circles. So they thought, okay, only suitable thing to do to such a person is just kill him. There you go. So, how to kill him or beat him to death? Take him from marketplace to marketplace and whip him until he drops. So they did that, but he didn't drop. Normally people would die after several marketplaces, because it's just too much. Just too much for the system. But Haridas Thakur, he went on 10, 15, 20, and then all 23 marketplaces, and he was fine. He was fresh and full of vitality and happy. And the people who had been beating him, they were just exhausted and completely finished and in great anxiety, because they assumed that because they were unsuccessful in killing him, they would be killed. So anyway, it's a bit of a long story, but Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Harinath Thakur about this, and he says, you remember, they beat you in all those marketplaces, but you felt nothing. And at the end, you just felt just like normal. And Harinath said, yes, I remember, it was amazing. And to this day, I cannot understand how it happened. And Lord Chaitanya said, what happened was that I descended from Vaikuntha and I lay across your back and I took the beating. I took the whole beating. So you actually felt nothing. But I took the whole beating. And then he turned his back to Harinath Thakur and said, see the scars. And Harinath saw that on the back of Lord Chaitanya was just, his whole back was just like a massive scar. Because he had actually taken the beating. He had actually taken the beating to protect his devotee. Because he cares more for particularly such a very great devotee like Harinath Thakura. So it's a very important part of Krishna consciousness. The intimacy, the depth of the relationship between the Lord and his devotees, and the heart of the Lord, the heart of the Lord in the sense of how he appreciates the efforts of his devotees, and how the devotees endear themselves practically unlimitedly to the Lord. Even more than he's dear to himself. Krishna tells Arjuna in Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parita, na me bhakta chaye jana. That person who says, Ye me bhakta, that person who says he is my devotee, me bhakta, na me bhakta, he's not my devotee. But mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas. One who says he is the devotee, mad bhaktanam, of my devotee, te me bhaktatanam, that person is my devotee. So it's a very, very, you could say, very personal part of Krishna consciousness, the relationship between the Lord and his devotees, all of the devotees, but particularly the more advanced devotees and the very advanced devotees. So if one serves those very advanced devotees, if one serves any devotees, actually, any genuine devotees, but particularly the more advanced devotees, the mercy one gets from Krishna, it overflows and overflows and overflows. It's quite inconceivable by material standards. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, here's really quite amazing account of one such devotee who was just dedicated to the devotees. His name was Kalidas. Kalidas. He was an uncle of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. So this Kalidas, he was so appreciative of other devotees and so dedicated to them, and he'd do anything for them, that he had a special program every day. It was a 7 days a week full-time service. He would go and visit devotees, and he would either get the remnants of their foodstuffs, some of their leftover prasadam, or he'd take some dust from their feet, or if he could, he'd bathe their feet and take some of that water that had bathed their feet and put it on his head. This was Kalidas, and the devotees meant so much to him that this was actually all he did. He literally never did anything else. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says that in this way, he got the food remnants of every devotee in Bengal. And, you know, even today, but particularly in those days, there's really a lot of devotees in Bengal. So this was his full-time program, simply based on an appreciation for the devotees, love for the devotees, and this desire to express that in different ways. And the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he makes the point that as a result of that, Kalidas got the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he was Patita Padana and gave so much mercy to so many people and so many devotees. But Kalidas got more than anyone at all because of his doing like this. And there's a description, sort of like a little case history, of how he approached one devotee called Jadu Thakur, who was a very nice devotee, householder, Vaishnava, living at home with his wife and fully engaged in devotional service. So what Kalidas did, appreciating this Jadu Thakur, he bought some mangoes and went and visited Jadu Thakur and gave them as a gift. Here, take them. And then they sat down, they had a little discussion about Krishna consciousness and devotional service and Krishna. And after a while, Kalidas said to Jadu Thakur, he said, "You know, I have a special desire. I would like to get some of the dust from your lotus feet. Is that okay?" And then he quoted some verses from Shastra, which explain how beneficial it is to get the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees. And so he said, you know, this verse, that verse, and even if someone is born as a dog eater, but if they chant the holy names, we can take the dust from their feet. And a number of other verses are quoted there by Kalidas. And he said, so there, you see, you know, this is all Shastra. It says it's so beneficial to get the dust from the lotus feet of the devotee. So, can I please have some of the dust from your lotus feet? And Jadu Thakur said, well, you know, what you say is correct. It really is beneficial, extremely, to get the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. But in this case, we have a problem in regards to me, because I'm not a devotee. So, you know, sorry, can't help you. Go find a devotee. And then Kalidas didn't make like an issue about it. He just said, okay. And then Jadu Thakur walked him out to the front gate in front of the house and said goodbye. And Jadu Thakur went back inside. He was walking barefoot, and the ground was just dust, and his footprints were there from when he walked back into the house. As soon as he got back in the house, Kalidas just got down on the ground and just rolled all the way from the front gate to the front door, just rolled in those footprints in the dust, and he was really happy. just so happy. Then, now of course, he had given the mangoes. So what he did, he went around the back, sort of behind the property, a little way away, and he was watching. What's he going to do with the mangoes? And he saw Jamie Tucker offered the mangoes, and then he ate the mangoes. And then his wife threw away the seeds and the skins and the rubbish heap. And then he and his wife went indoors. And Kalidas, he came out. And he dived into the rubbish heap. And he found the seeds and the skins. And he sucked them with great relish. In this way, this is an example given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In this way, Kalidas took the food remnants of every devotee in Bengal and with great relish and like utmost devotion. And as a result of that, Lord Chaitanya reciprocated with him in ways that he did not reciprocate even with other very great devotees. And the way Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes it is that Kalidas would go every year to visit Lord Chaitanya with the other devotees from Bengal at the time of Rath Yatra. And so they'd be there with Lord Chaitanya for some weeks or a few months. And every day, Lord Chaitanya would go to visit Jagannath and have darshan of the deities in the main Jagannath temple. At the bottom of the stairs, there's a ditch, and Lord Chaitanya would have his feet washed before going up the stairs and into the temple. And Lord Chaitanya gave strict orders to his personal bodyguard, Kashishvara Goswami. Lord Chaitanya had a personal bodyguard, big, powerful sannyasi, Kashishvara. He gave him strict orders. When I bathe my feet at the bottom of the stairs, keep people away. No one gets that water. Just let it go down and just go away. So Kashishvara would be there and he would do his bodyguarding service. However, the description is, Kalidas, he would sort of sneak in and put his hands under Lord Chaitanya's feet as Lord Chaitanya's feet are being washed. And one mouthful, and then again, a second, and then again, a third, and then a fourth. But usually Lord Chaitanya would stop him after the third, when he was trying for the fourth, and tell him, all right, Kalidas, I've fulfilled your desire as much as I can. And that would be it. But the point is, the thing is, in that regard, Lord Chaitanya wouldn't allow anyone else to get that water. Nobody. You can think of this devotee or that, great, great personalities, he wouldn't allow it. But Kalidas he allowed. And he allowed that because Lord Chaitanya appreciated so much how Kalidas appreciated the devotees. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a little conclusion to that, the whole description of Kalidas. And he does that in the form of an appeal to the devotees. He says, my dear devotees, please consider this. That the food remnants of the devotee, the dust of the devotee's lotus feet, and the water that has washed their lotus feet, these are extremely powerful substances. They easily give love for God. And he says, my dear devotees, by any means, you must get these things. You must. And he says, I insist again and again, you must get these things. And you will achieve love of God. And the evidence is Kalidas himself. So this is really the underlying theme here. It's a subtlety which people might not get or think of, but it is really of such vital importance, so extremely significant, that the devotees, all the devotees, but particularly the advanced devotees who surrendered themselves at the lotus feet of the Lord and made his mission their life and soul, they're so dear to the Lord that if you please them, if you serve them and please them, you please the Lord more than you could by doing anything. You know, 64 rounds a day, 190 rounds a day, not sleeping for 1 year, and, you know, whatever extreme effort you could possibly try to make in a Krishna conscious way will not and cannot please the Lord and arouse the mercy of the Lord towards you as much at all as serving the devotees. Yes. Serving the devotees, particularly those devotees who are completely free from all vice. And as a result of that, the Lord thinks that you, the servant, the one who's been serving the devotees, the Lord thinks you are so nice. I want to give you the best thing. What shall I give you? Shall I give you the position of Lord Brahma? No, I can't give you that. It would practically be like an insult. What shall I? Shall I make you Lord of humanity? No, that's just pathetic. I want to give you the best thing. So what am I going to give? What is the best thing? Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. That you will actually develop an attachment. Not just you will develop an attachment. I will give you an attachment. That you will find that out of somewhere, who knows where, suddenly your mind is just oriented like that. Now you just want to hear about Krishna, and you don't want to hear about anything else. And if anything else interferes, then just immediately it's totally rejected. Like that, an exclusive type of attraction. So this is very nice. This is a very nice part of Krishna consciousness. You know, even we, let's face it, we, as aspiring devotees, I know, some of us, however many of us, we still have some attractions to some material things. Am I right? Anyone here? One. See if we have one here. Okay. Anyway, of course we do. Yeah. It may be, it depends, I don't know. Maybe it's Bollywood, maybe it's like motor cars, maybe it's just the opposite sex, or some music, or some something. But something. You know, we have a tendency the mind will just veer off into that. And we get interested and get involved, and before you know, we're into it. This is because we've been in material life for a long time, many, many lifetimes. Old habits die hard. And as we lived in our previous life and the life before, then we've come into this life on the basis of that, of the past. It's not just this life is just a new life and we started afresh. No, it's all part of a continuum. So the past is continuing into the present, and therefore the old habits die hard. The old attachments, they don't just go away just like that. Yes, so to really develop that attachment, like I said, you can try 64 rounds a day, go ahead. Very nice, why not? But it's not exactly that by just going for it 64 rounds a day, because, you know, I don't know how many of you have done 64 rounds a day or, you know, 108 rounds. If you have done, you'd know. You've got to go for it. You can't stop. You can't stop and chit-chat. Because you lose 10 minutes and shook. You lose your rhythm and got to get started again. It's a whole thing. But you will not develop such an attachment for hearing and chanting about Krishna, his holy names, his pastimes, his qualities, his instructions, his philosophy, all these Krishna conscious sound vibrations. You cannot develop such an attachment for them by just sort of going for it, you know, increasing your chanting, etc., although we should try, but not like you can by doing this. And therefore we find Srila Prabhupada, he would just repeatedly, again and again and again and again, and just hundreds and thousands of times emphasize that, for example, the disciple should serve the spiritual master. This is the orientation of the disciple. I am the servant of my spiritual master and the other devotees, but particularly the spiritual master. So Prabhupada encouraged that just relentlessly, basically, because it's the same principle. It's just this principle. You're focusing on a devotee, a more advanced devotee. You're focusing on them, serving them, trying to please them, remember them like that. And in this way you please the Lord. In this way you please the Lord, and the Lord gives his mercy. Particularly in this form of giving you an attachment. Giving you an attachment. Yes. So let us try to do like this. Let's really try to cultivate this service to the devotees. And we mentioned Kalidasu trying to get the food remnants and the dust and the water, which is fine, it's all nice. But it doesn't mean that you now, we all have to just become sort of fanatics in a sense, running around touching everyone's feet. And when everyone takes prasadam shortly, just grabbing something from their plate. But what the verse says is, by serving them, taking their remnants, etc., is serving them, it's okay. But still really serving, trying to actually do something to please. Sometimes devotees ask, how can I please my spiritual master? And sometimes we answer, ask him what he'd like you to do. And then you'll find out. You don't have to sort of agonize. Will this please him or will that please him or what will please him the most? Or serve the devotees. Ask the devotees. Any devotee. What can I do for you? Of course, then they say, no, it's okay, don't worry about it. But if you're intelligent and enthusiastic, you'll find a way through nice association. Find out how there's something you can do to please a devotee and serve a devotee. So this we should try to cultivate. We should really try to cultivate, and it will help us tremendously. And we'll develop Vasudeva Kataya Ruchi. We'll start developing this taste nicely. And as we develop that taste nicely, then you could say proportionately, certainly there's a relationship. Your taste for material things will fall away without you having to fight it off. But, oh, new body would move me. Ah, I must control myself how to do it. Please, lock me in my room. You won't really have to fight it off. You'll just lose interest. You just won't be interested. But your mind will be interested. Let me hear about Krishna. Let me chant more. Let me read more. Appreciate Krishna more. Like this. Hare Krishna. We appear to have three questions here. Let me just quickly try to answer them. What does twice born mean? Because the verse says, O twice born sages, it's referring it's referring to devotees who precede second initiation. Second initiation, you all know, I think, of so many of you do. We have first initiation, second, and there's also sannyas and some unusual cases. So twice born means those who have second initiation. Means they're accepted as being more qualified, more advanced, and therefore they're given that initiation through showing their spiritual qualification. I would like to know, how would you know if a devotee is spiritually advanced? And what qualities would this devotee emit? Yes, good point. Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing is, you know, there's all sorts of things, really. But one thing is, they will be here for the Sunday program. And, you know, they'll not just run out and try to be first in the line for prasad. Prabhupada, this famous story, Prabhupada went out and joined Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's Braj Mandal Parikrama one time at a place called Sheshishai. It's a holy place in Braj Mandala. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave a lecture, was giving a lecture, just, I think, next to the temple room where the deity of Sheshishai Vishnu is. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is giving the lecture, and then the arati began in the temple, which is just right there, just a matter of a few meters away. So ringing bell, conch shell, etc. And a number of devotees left the class to go and have darshan. Later, when Srila Prabhupada was to be initiated, he was introduced to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and as you know, as a nice devotee, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, yes, I have marked him. He likes to hear. He does not go away. So he noted that Prabhupada stayed and he didn't go off to have darshan, but rather he stayed here. So this is one thing. If devotees like to chant and like to hear, this is a sign of at least some advancement. And if devotees are not so materially attached to name and fame and comforts and eating and sleeping, but would rather be regularly engaged in devotional service, even if it's sometimes a little inconvenient physically. These are good signs of a little, at least some advancement, that the person will put their Krishna consciousness ahead of material considerations. Yeah. But otherwise, in terms of this verse, if you can see that someone really likes to hear and chant about Krishna, they really like it, according to this verse, they got some special mercy from Krishna. They say love involves choice. It appears that God has us for His pleasure. And if we don't comply, we suffer. So one is forced to take up a spiritual process. I would think that real choice involves two paths that offer real happiness as opposed to one real option guised as two. Like two servings, one rotten food and another good food. The intelligent person has to choose the good food, the other is not an option. Where is the real choice? Tricky question, isn't it? What do you got? You know, somebody's trying to catch us. Yeah. Yes. See, the thing is, we have two choices, of course. Actually, we have more than two. In a very simple sense, we have to either serve Krishna or not. Of course, you cannot serve Krishna in a multitude of ways. Any of the species of life, you know, you could try being a dog, try being a cat, try being a bird, how it goes, see how it goes. Different approaches, see what works, if anything works. Now, they're all bad choices. Like the person says here, if your one choice is rotten food and the other is good food, it's not really a choice. But material life is structured in such a way that the people, they don't think they're making a choice between something rotten and something good. They don't think that when they're choosing either material life or Krishna consciousness. They think material life is good. It's not good. It's a shame. But they think it's good. And they go for it like it is good. So, you know, there's this example of, like, you can either choose an obviously bad choice or an obviously good choice. It's not really a choice. But that's not how it works. Because people think that material life is a good choice or a better choice. Of course, you know, the thing is, we are all eternal servants of Krishna. That's what we are. We are not just some sort of flexible entity that can just be happy in any situation, doesn't matter. Just somehow or other just adjust to anything. That's not what we are. We are fixed. We are actual living beings. Substantial living beings. Eternal servants of Krishna. And ultimately, even though, you know, people think their choices in material life are very good or excellent even, but ultimately the fact that actually they're bad choices becomes apparent. And then they get the realization that if I want to help myself and do myself a favor, then I should make the really right choice of serving Krishna. But Krishna doesn't force. You can take it or leave it. Krishna definitely doesn't force. You can take it or leave it. But if you take it, then he's very happy and he reciprocates and you get a lot of mercy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.